the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, with the tax debate that's been going on over the GOP tax plan, several programs have been dedicated to some of the proposals that were in the plan. Today, we really would like to do something from a different perspective. Rather than get into the political debates, the narratives, and some of the proposals, what we're going to do is put real numbers behind the plan. We'll look at high tax states, people who live in no tax states, and then people who live in states where the taxation is somewhere in between. There are cases of married with children, singles, middle class, wealthy, and in each of these cases, as you combine them together, the bottom line is, how does this impact you personally in real dollars and cents? Because ultimately, that's what it's all about, rather than political narratives and promises and proposals. So we're going to use a program that the Wall Street Journal put online, a tax calculator. And again, the bottom line is, what does this mean for you and for me personally?
You know, the one thing that we've been stressing here, and I can't overstress this enough, actually, is this is probably the biggest tax law change that we've seen in over three decades. The last time we did anything of this significance in changing the tax code was back under Ronald Reagan in 1986. Now, if you recall back then, there were deductions that were taken away, especially for real estate tax shelters, the deduction of sales tax, all of that done with the idea the tax code would be simplified. You would be incentivized to make economic decisions, not making investment decisions based on taxes. And of course, in exchange for that, we would have a lower tax rate. They phased the lower taxes over 4 years. And finally, we had 1 year where the tax rates got down to 28%. And of course, the problem is the deductions like sales tax, the excess write-offs of real estate, the tax shelters, they were all done away with. But the next president following Reagan, George H. Bush, he raised tax rates. And then President Clinton raised tax rates. Now, George W. Bush lowered taxes in 2001 and 2003, but he didn't really change the tax code. He just lowered the tax rates. This one does significant things. And the one thing you have to bear in mind, and this is where I think this could be a Trojan horse, it's going to do away with most of the things that you use to shelter your income. Things like medical expenses, deductions for state taxes, property taxes. They're lowering the amount of mortgage interest that you can deduct from $1 million plus $100,000 for a second to only $500,000. They're doing away with miscellaneous deductions, and they're doing away with exemptions. And exemptions are worth $4,050 per individual. Next year, they would go up to over $4,100. So all of these things are being taken away in exchange for simplification of the tax code in three lower tax brackets. The 10% bracket would be bumped up to 12, and then we would do away with the 28, the 31, we would have a 25, the 39.6 would go away, and we would have a 35. So we would have three tax brackets, 12, 25, and 35.
Okay, now, out of all of that, what kind of scenarios are we going to assemble here? Because everybody's tax information is different and different combinations of those different parameters.
What we did here is we chose two high tax states, California, New York, one state that was in between, Ohio, and then one state where there is no taxes. And this is the key point that you need to understand about this bill. This tax bill, as you'll see here in our case studies, impacts people differently depending on where you live and the size of your mortgage and also the size of your deductions. Like, for example, an elderly couple that might be in a retirement home that are deducting, let's say, a retirement home care, like for dementia, Alzheimer's. So we're going to take a couple cases like that. We'll do those ad hoc just to give you an idea. But let's take an income, middle income family. This is a couple that has two kids, husband and wife, and both husband and wife work with about $100,000 of income. The mortgage deduction was about $6,100. Charitable deductions were $4,300. The state and local taxes was $7,900. Medical expenses of $1,000. Property taxes of $3,700. So we used that scenario and said, all right, what would the taxes be for this couple in California, New York, Ohio, or Florida? Because this really illustrates the savings that you get when you are living in a lower tax state or a no tax state. So let's start with my own state of California. Under my own state of California, this couple making $100,000 a year would save roughly $990. So roughly about $1,000. That same couple living in New York would save $810. Finally, in Ohio, which is, I think Ohio's tax rates are somewhere around 5 or 6%. I'd have to look that up. But here is going to be the dramatic difference. That same couple living in Ohio, they would save $1,470. So almost $500 more than that couple living in California, and $700 more for a couple living in New York. Finally, this really drives home the point. That same couple living in Florida would save $2,170.
This sort of gets back to the show that we did on the Great Migration. If you remember a few years back, we said there was going to be a virtual civil war among states, a virtual economic civil war, as some states made it very attractive for people to relocate there and other states kept driving people out. And probably the deciding factor is going to be the wealthy move, because they constitute a large part of tax income in a particular state. And if they decide to exit because of the results of this tax policy, then that's going to be substantial for each of those states as a part of this virtual civil war, is what I'm calling it, between the states. So let's look at the wealthy situation, and especially in high tax states.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you emphasized that point, because the Wall Street Journal did an article on that. One hedge fund manager moved his staff and operations from Connecticut to Florida, and the state of Connecticut lost over $200 million in tax revenues. And John, it's my prediction, and it's not just me, it's others, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, are saying that this tax bill, which looks more than likely it's going to get passed by the end of the year, so it'll go into effect January 1st of 2018, is going to trigger a migration. Now, what we did, because this tax bill is really aimed at creating jobs, so they really wanted to lower corporate tax rates so we are competitive, because the U.S. has a tax rate of 35%, the highest in the world. The average of the G10 is somewhere around 22% and going lower. So they wanted to bring corporate tax rates and create incentives for business. So what we did is we took a high income couple and we just rounded it off and said they make $1 million. They have two kids. And we took that couple, we'll just call him Larry Lots of Bucks and his twin brother, Louie. Now, Larry is a business owner. So one of the aspects, in addition to lowering the corporate tax rate, they would also lower the tax rate for pass-throughs for like subchapter S and partnerships. So we took the same four states, California, New York, Ohio, and Florida, and Larry is a pass-through income individual. His mortgage deduction is $13,700. His charitable contributions are $4,305. His state and local taxes are $73,000. And his medical expenses are $1,000. And property taxes, $8,300. Now, the state taxes differ, obviously, for California, New York, Ohio, and there's none in Florida. But this will give you an idea. Larry Lots of Bucks in California, his taxes would drop by $87,000. And the main reason is the pass-through tax rate is 25% versus the top tax rate that's in existence right now, which is 39.6. Throw in the Pease Amendment 1%, throw in the Medicare tax at 3.8, you're at roughly 44. Now, in New York, his state and local taxes would be $86,500. The tax savings in New York would be $86,810. So roughly about the same. In Ohio, which has a lower tax rate at the state level, his state taxes are only $36,000 because of a lower tax rate. There would be a $91,710, almost $92,000 in tax savings. And here's the whopper. If Larry lived in Florida, where there's no state income taxes, the federal tax savings are $100,640. So you can see right here, this goes right back to the show that we did about the great tax migration. So for Larry Lotsabucks, running his own business, he saves $86,000 in California, $100,000 in Florida.
What happens if you get, in the case of an individual, let's pick one, say a salaried executive? Okay, so he doesn't have a pass-through here. How does this shift then?
Oh, this is a dramatic shift. And this once again emphasizes the thrust of the bill is to stimulate business, small businesses that create most of the jobs. Let's take Larry's brother, Louie, who's a corporate executive making $1 million. Same scenario in terms of taxes, mortgage deduction, family of four. Watch the difference. In California, his tax savings would only be $15,440. Versus his brother, who runs his own business, where the tax savings would be $86,800. They are $15,440 in New York. In Ohio, that tax savings would go up to $20,340. And in Florida, the tax savings would be $24,420. So a very, very big difference. Once again, emphasizing the difference in how this tax bill is going to impact people that live in high tax states like New York, New Jersey, California versus mid tax states like Ohio, Indiana versus no tax states like Nevada, Florida, and Texas.
Yeah, let's zoom into the area where the politicians just love to chatter all the time. Let's take a case of a single mother, and the odds are she's probably working, she's got dependents, she's got kids, I don't know about alimony or any other kinds of income, but she's probably not in super high tax brackets. Now, maybe that's stereotypical, but let's just take it.
All right, let's just assume a single mother, she's got two kids. Let's just pick a salary of $75,000. Let's assume, okay, she has no pass-through income. Let's put in $6,000 for local, $5,000 because there'd be some exemptions. Property taxes paid, California, about $5,000. Medical expenses are low. Mortgage interest, well, in California, that's probably going to be somewhere around $7,000 or $8,000. So let's put $7,000 or $8,000. And charitable contributions of $1,000. Based on your input, your tax liability would decrease by $4,980. And a lot of that has to do with if you take $75,000 of income, you take the exemption of $12,000 for a single individual, and then, of course, the 12% tax rate, there would be a substantial savings. Let me change this around a bit and see what happens if, let's say this individual pays, $5,000 in local taxes. Let's remove the property taxes. Let's say this individual rents. We'll get rid of the medical deductions, and we're going to get rid of the mortgage deductions. Let's just see what this does. Wow. The tax savings go up to $6,050. So you can see this is really going to help a lot of single individuals and middle class individuals. Married couple, it is less friendly. Once again, that scenario that we talked about earlier, the tax savings on that middle income family where husband and wife work with $100,000 in California, the savings are roughly about $1,000, which is basically what the GOP on their talking points when they've been going on the news shows. They're saying the average family would save about $1,000. That pretty much lines up with the numbers that we put in here. And of course, those numbers go up for those that live in lower tax states and no tax states.
And of course, what are the real risks here? Because as you and I both know, quite often when people talk about tax law reform, tax law changes, it's really a shell game. And, you know, here we're taking away certain deductions or exemptions that people can use. And they say, well, in exchange for that, we're giving you lower tax rates. And everybody goes, hooray. But later on, another Congress, another presidential administration comes in and they raise the rates back up to where they were before. But now you don't have the deductions or exemptions. Boo. And what are the real risks of that?
You know, there is a real risk, and that's exactly what happened with the Reagan tax reform. A Republican president, George H. Bush, raised taxes from 28 to 31. Then a Democrat president, Bill Clinton, raised them to 39.6 and took away part of itemized deductions. That is the big risk here. But, John, there is also a bigger risk here for politicians. And you already seen this as a result of this bill. Several governors that were planning on raising income taxes further, for example, the state of New Jersey, which has almost a 9% income tax rate, have had to reconsider because just as the Journal did a study on Connecticut, New Jersey, that are monitoring their high income taxpayers because just like that one hedge fund moved his operations, the state of Connecticut lost $200 million in lost tax revenues. You know, governors of the state and also the next president are going to have to think through this very clearly. And I think my prediction is, John, as they look at this and what it could do in terms of a demographic shift in the United States, they are going to come in and maybe go to something like a value-added tax or a national sales tax. Because just as I just illustrated in these examples for Larry Lots of Bucks and his brother Louie, I mean, the tax savings become substantial. If you're a high-income individual that pays the majority of the taxes in this country, what are you going to do when you can't deduct your, let's say, state income taxes, your property taxes? It is going to behoove you, like it did that hedge fund that just packed up the whole operations and said, the heck with this. Why should I pay these kind of taxes, these kind of living expenses? They moved to Florida. And that's why this is going to impact real estate in a number of ways. First of all, they're talking about the married couple can exempt $500,000 on the sale of their principal residence if they live 2 out of the most recent 3 years. It's going to go to 5 out of the most recent 8 years. So you're going to have a longer holding period. And so that's going to impact you. They're also thinking of doing that for capital gains on stocks. They're talking about a FIFO measure, meaning that if you bought, let's say you were accumulating Microsoft, you bought it at different times. Well, under the current tax law, you can use last in, meaning your last purchase cost basis. Well, under the proposal, you would have to go to FIFO, meaning you would have to, let's say you own 500 shares, you bought 100 shares a year, you would have to go back to the first 100 shares you use and use that as your cost basis. So it's going to impact the market as well. You know, we've been on this because this is unlike anything that we have seen for 3 decades. And John, unlike past tax bills, when they passed, when Bush cut taxes in 2001 and 2003, they were across the board. They didn't impact anybody if you lived in a different state. It didn't impact you if you had a bigger home, a smaller home, or if you rented. It was across the board. But this one is going at the heart of the tax code. It is removing those things that people use to lower their taxes.
The one that really concerns me, you know, we had all this discussion about Obamacare and, you know, free health care, yada, 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 as if Congress really cares. What does the tax system do? Because we seem to be stripping away the medical deductions, assuming, I think, maybe the assumptions that the Affordable Health Care Act is going to pay for all of this and Medicare, which, you know, they're already all in trouble in one form or another. But they're stripping that medical deduction. What about people who have large medical bills, especially retired people or people who have relatives in nursing homes, other things related to that?
You know, this is amazing because we did that calculation. And even with medical expenses, we used $60,000 in medical expenses for a couple that was making $80,000 a year and retirement income, $60,000, obviously, would be the tax savings. And based on this input, it would be $4,200. That's a $40,000 medical expenses or $60,000. And it's basically on $80,000 worth of income. So it is going to impact, like I said, this changes so many things for so many people. It's, you know, do you have medical expenses? Or picture all those people that lived in Texas or in Florida as a result of losing their homes or property damage to their homes as a result of hurricanes. Or think of people that get tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. You know, you have damage to your home and it's not covered. You can deduct the losses of repair on your tax return. If you are seriously ill, you're elderly and you have major medical expenses, you deduct them. So right now, because of the increase in the exemption from 6,000 to 12, if you're single, from 12 to 24, if you're married, and simplifying to three lower tax brackets, 12, 25, and 35, just about everybody benefits. Obviously, the more income that you earn, and also if you own a business versus a salaried individual, you have various tax savings. And what I wanted to illustrate here, this tax bill, taking that same couple, whether it's a middle-class family or it's a high-income family or a self-employed individual that makes high income, the tax savings vary dramatically depending on where you live. And we are going to cover more of this because this is just the House bill. Actually, the Senate bill is more favorable in many ways. It repeals the health care mandate. So the $700-something individuals are getting hit with $2,000 for a family, or what is it, $2,200. It would repeal that. And the Senate bill, at least the latest version, has a lower tax rate. And as this comes through tax committee, so once again, I can't tell you, this is big. It's big in terms of what it's going to do for people's taxes. It's big for what it's going to do to corporate taxes and corporate earnings. It's big for what it's going to do in the economy. But could this end up being the wrong plan, or maybe the right plan, but at the wrong time? Because the Fed is going to be raising interest rates this month. They're planning, at least they're projecting right now, raising interest rates three times next year. So for the first time, at least in my lifetime, you have economic stimulus that's being applied at the same time you have monetary contraction that's taking place. And that's why, as we get into our year-end summary coming up here in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about 2018 could be a volatile year. So hold on and hold on tight, because I got a feeling 2018 is going to be a wild ride.
Jim, when you say it's going to be a wild ride, I mean, that puts a lot of angst in certain people. Put that in perspective, not just the tax, but everything else we think is coming for 2018.
I mean, you know, throw it all out there. It'll be the ninth year of a business recovery. And then you put stimulus on top of that. You have a Fed, which could get more aggressive. Remember, anytime we've had a recession, anytime we've had a bear market, it's been preceded by a Fed rate raising cycle. And we're in the middle of one with the Fed talking about getting more aggressive. It took them several years to just raise interest rates a quarter of a point a year. 2018 will be the first time they've raised it three times in a year, and they're projecting they'll do that or even more next year. We'll have to wait to see what happens in the impact on the economy, because we have margin debt at all-time records. We have personal debt, including consumer debt, at an all-time record as well. So all of this plays in on the markets, because, you know, the markets are going to react. And the Fed is also contracting its balance sheet, something Greg Weldon and I talked about on the weekend show. So all of this has far-reaching implications, John, for tax policy, for the economy, and for the financial markets. We were spending a lot of time on this, but folks, it is going to be big. And unfortunately, the Fed does not have a good track record of bringing us to a soft landing. They tend to crash the airplane. And that's what I'm concerned about. Do they have the smarts? And so far, in over a half a century, they haven't demonstrated that they do. And that's why, John, I think this is going to bring in a lot of volatility into the market next year, not to mention the fact that valuations, which are not a market timing device, are extremely elevated. And if we extend this bull market into next year and economic recovery into next year, it could be one of the longest economic recoveries and longest bull markets. And we know what happens in the very end. They will keep raising rates until they break something. Usually it's the economy and then the financial markets.
So here we stand. Both bills have passed each of their respective houses. Now it goes into that sausage factory for a reconciliation blend to come out. And there's going to be some horse trading here in additions and subtractions before we get the final bill. So now what?
There is going to be a lot of horse trading because they want to make sure that they can pass this. And they've already got one no vote in the Senate. So they have a razor thin margin. And in order to get people to go along, that's where the horse trading is going to be. And it's going to be done in the sausage factory. So this is going to change a little bit. I got a feeling the corporate tax rates are going to change. Maybe they're going to leave in a few more itemized deductions. They're going to be a little trading. The two areas that I think they want to trade on is the corporate tax rate and the deductions. And they're going to be working on this in the next week or two. And hopefully we'll have something coming out of the conference committee that can go for a full vote between both houses of Congress. And when we do, we will do the same scenario and tell you what it is. Because folks, I hope you listen to my interview tomorrow with tax EPA Kim Fischera, because this is the year you want to talk to your advisor. Because if they do pass this, you're going to want to front load as many deductions as you can this year, where they're worth much more to you because of the tax rates and the fact you get to deduct them. That's not going to be the case next year. So, you know, this is a year, pay attention. You need to be doing some tax planning. I know you're thinking about the holidays and Christmas and all those kind of things, but this is a major financial change, and it is going to impact you in one way or another.
And related to what we're talking about, tomorrow on the program, Jim's guest is going to be Kim Fischera, tax CPA, and I'm sure many of these same subjects will be coming up. That's tomorrow on Lifetime Income. Anything, we're rounding the end of the year here, Jim, anything that's significant?
Well, we got the Fed rate hike coming up here in the next 2 weeks. I think the markets, while they anticipate that, no major changes here. John, the big thing, once again, is this tax bill, because there's going to be a lot of jockeying around, because they're messing around with capital gains in terms of holding periods for real estate in the markets. And so, obviously, when we get the final bill, there is going to be a lot of maneuvering that's going to be done in the markets. And then I think also tax-wise, and that's why we want to cover this issue, because folks, once again, this is very big. Well, in the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to this week's Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.